Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman, and glad to have you along with us here as we continue our study in God's Word, the brand new course of topic for today here on Reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed. Honored to be sitting here opening God's Word for just a small portion of your day, but it's meant the world to me that you've been here, so appreciate that. We're going to be in the book of Acts. In fact, we're going to spend pretty much the entirety of the time allotted before us in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. If you want to be turning there, we'll be there in just a moment. Acts chapter 20. This is program 120 in our study of God's Word, titled Paul's Ministry in Ephesus. And if you want to find this program again anytime online, you can do so easily at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. Once you've done that, you just scroll down. They're listed by air dates, and so you just find today's dates and look for Paul's ministry in Ephesus. The book of Acts records the history of the Lord's church, and it does a wonderful job from the beginning there, and the first day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and it gives you about a 30-year slice of the Lord's church, about the first 30 years, if you will. Paul, on his second missionary journey, winds up in a city called Ephesus in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. Paul is there working miracles. In fact, as we'll see from our study today, Paul spent about 3 years of time in the city of Ephesus. Paul was there working miracles. There were other people who were trying to work miracles, trying to cast out demons, as it were. There was a man, Sceva, who had 7 sons. We think of chapter 19 as the 7 sons of Sceva chapter. And these people, they were trying to cast out demons, and the demon said, "Well, I know who Paul is, and I know who Jesus Christ is, but I don't know who you are." And so that very much discredited these false teachers in the city of Ephesus. But Paul was there in Ephesus. There was a great temple to Diana, also known as Artemis, but they called her Diana. And the life of the people in Ephesus, that port city, it revolved around worship to Diana. Now, Paul's writing to Christians. Paul is converting people. He writes to Christians in the Ephesian letter. But we see they were called out of idol worship, called into Christ. So, in Christ being one of your key phrases in the book of Ephesians. But we see the problem was in the city of Ephesus that these people who made a living by making these idols, if you will, they were not too happy that Paul and Silas were trying to take away their livelihood, so they get a crowd to revolt, and for the space of multiple hours, they are just yelling out, "Great is Diana the Ephesian." So Paul basically needs to get out of Dodge. He needs to move on from the city of Ephesus. Now we see here he comes into Troas on the Lord's Day in Acts chapter 20, preaches there until midnight, ready to depart upon the morrow. And as he is journeying, I want you to pick up in verse number 17 of Acts 20. From Miletus, he sent back to Ephesus word and called for the elders of the church, the overseers. The Lord's model for the church is not to have one person in charge, dear friends, but a plurality of elders, men who meet qualifications clearly set out, as Paul writes to Timothy and also to Titus. They are to oversee the flock, never one. Always a multiplicity of elders, and each church is to have their own elders. At Arlington, we currently have 2 elders, and they only oversee the church at Arlington. They don't oversee the church out at Rockcliffe or at Bybee Branch or at Central. They have their own elders at those respective congregations. Paul calls these elders, and he labored with them for 3 years. Dear friends, I want you to think about this as we start looking at Paul's ministry in Ephesus. If you knew you were going to see someone for the last time, what would you tell them? Paul has a good idea. He's not going to be able to make it back to Ephesus. And according to history, there's a good chance he didn't make it back. If he did, it's not recorded in Scripture. So he has some very poignant words, if you will. And I want us to look at Paul's ministry in Ephesus. 6 things we're going to note to the rest of this chapter. And they all start with the letter W. Number 1, look at verses 18 and 19 of Acts 19. Acts chapter 20. And when they were come, the elders were come unto Paul. He said unto them, you know, from the first day I came into Asia, where Ephesus is located, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Pausing there. Number one, Paul's ministry in Ephesus, it was wise. Paul says, you know, you have seen how I was with you at all seasons, through the good times and into the bad. My ministry was wise. I serve the Lord with all humility of mind, submitting himself in service to the Lord. Paul's ministry, number one, was wise. Number two, though, it was filled with weeping. Look at this. And with many tears, verse 19, and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. I don't exactly know what caused Paul to cry in Ephesus while he was working there for 3 years. But Paul might have been preaching, trying to get through to some lost soul, and then that lost soul quits listening to him. Or Paul's trying to give them the soul-saving message of salvation and somebody gets offended. Somebody quits coming to worship. Oh, sorry, these are woes that preachers experience today, I guess. Paul was upset. You know, we do the same thing. We are part of the family of God, and so we are upset when people don't come. We are upset when people fall away and are lost, and we know that if they don't turn their life around, we know their eternal destination, dear friends, and sometimes that causes us just to sit down and cry and say, what can I do to get through to them? Paul's ministry, it was wise, and it was filled with weeping. We're going to have to dry our tears and take us a quick break. Brother Jim Dearman is going to invite you to services at the Arlington Church of Christ. And on the other side, about 30 seconds, we'll be back and we'll finish out Paul's ministry in Ephesus here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman, and dear friends, thank you for staying with us here on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, and as promised, we are looking at Paul's ministry in Ephesus. If you're just joining us and you want to catch the first part of this program again, you can do that anytime online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio programs. From there, you'll scroll down. This is episode 120, and it's arranged by air date. So just find today's date and Paul's ministry in Ephesus. We're looking in Acts chapter 20, as Paul has called these Ephesian elders, the elders of the church at Ephesus, and probably, more likely than not, his last meeting with them, very emotional, if you will. And so he wants to give them some parting words. And we've already looked at, number one, how his ministry is wise. And number two, it was filled with weeping. Number three, pick up in Acts 20, verses 20 and 21. Paul's ministry was working. He says, you know, verse 20, how I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have shown you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul's ministry was one of working, and I want you to key in verse 20. How did he work? Number one, he taught publicly in a public fashion, but also number two, from house to house. Dear friends, should we not work the same way? Yes, we preach and teach in a public manner, for instance, at the church house during worship. But there's nothing wrong with having a personal Bible study. Although this is going out over the airwaves, it's a personal Bible study from you and I. Maybe you're in your house right now, or you know someone that listens and studies in their house. So we need to work both publicly and from house to house. But number four in Paul's ministry in Ephesus, I want you to know, it was watchful. By the way, all of our points start with W, if you haven't keyed in on that. It was wise, weeping, working. Now, number four, it's watchful. Verses 24 through 27. Friend, look at this with me in Acts 20, verse 24. He says, but none of these things move me, talking about how he was bound to go to Jerusalem, not knowing what would befall him there, but how the Holy Spirit worked in every city. He said, but none of these things move me, Neither I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching in the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul's ministry, number four, was watchful. He says, you know, I have been preaching. I have done what I should. And he says, I have not held anything back. Dear friends, preachers of the world, and I use that term preachers loosely, well, they'll hold back the gospel. They won't tell the whole story. They won't preach Christ and Him crucified because that's not popular. I don't care about being popular. I care about pleasing the Lord. Number five, as we look at Paul's ministry in Ephesus, look at verses 28 through 31. Take heed to yourselves, therefore, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He's purchased with His own blood. For I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every day, night and night, with my tears. See, Paul is warning, dear friends, that there's going to come people among the church in Ephesus from among the outside, not members, that they're going to try to come in and change the church. He said, and there's going to come people not from outside, but within. They're going to try to change the church. Dear friends, we see that even still today. We must be warned. People are going to try to disrupt our service to the Lord, and it comes from without and within. But lastly, Paul's ministry in Ephesus. Look in verses 34 and 35 of Acts 20. Yea, you yourselves know these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have shown you all these things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul's ministry was well-rounded. See, not only was he out preaching and teaching and saving souls, he's supporting the weak. Paul labored as a tent maker. No doubt he helped make things for those who were without. Not just providing spiritual necessities, dear friends, but being well-rounded, you provide for the physical necessities. You know, they say, once your physical necessities have been met, it's a whole lot easier to move on to the things you want. It's a whole lot easier if I can have a Bible study with someone who's not fearful where their next meal's coming from. Maybe we sit down, we enjoy a meal together, and then we study. But I'm providing for a physical need and then doing my best to provide for a spiritual need as well. Dear friends, Paul had an effective ministry in Ephesus. It was wise, weeping, working, watchful, warning, and well-rounded. You know, Paul left Timothy in Ephesus. And Paul told Timothy, you give exhortation to doctrine because you're going to have to be careful. The church had a doctrinal problem. It fixes that. By the time we see the letter to the church at Ephesus written in the book of Revelation, they fix their doctrinal problem and then they develop a love problem. They've left their first love. Dear friends, do not let that be said of you. Don't have a doctrinal problem. Don't leave your first love. Hold on to what God has said and be faithful. Dear friends, I appreciate the time that we've had allotted before us today. If you want to join this study again, listen to it again in its entirety or send it to someone else, you can do that anytime online. It's at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program, and from there you find it by air date and title. And this is called Paul's Ministry in Ephesus. Now, although our time has run out for today, dear friends, if the good Lord permits, in 168 hours, also known as 7 days or a week from now, we'll be back, we'll open God's Word again, and we'll continue reading the Word. I do appreciate the time and the attention that you have given me. As I mentioned, it's truly made my day, and I hope we might have been just a small blessing in your day. Once again, online, that's at readingtheword.net. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.